This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran what we should do at times of calamities. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if only when our calamity came to them, they تَضَرَّعُوا, that is that they humbled themselves, that they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience and worship. وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ But their hearts became hard, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And shaitan made what they were doing appear to be good to them. The great Mufassir Al-Qurtubi, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmed Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that in this ayah there is a divine rebuke. That is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebuking them for abandoning supplication. They abandoned dua when the calamity came to them. And that is because their hearts were hard. The soft heart, the one that is receptive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation, the one that is empathetic and sympathetic, the one that recognizes that when these calamities come, they are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, and that these tests bring out the best in us if we endure them with patience, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test any soul with a burden greater than it can bear. And we really believe this. And if we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will make it through this calamity bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The important point here to note is that Allah Azza wa Jal is encouraging us to do many or to make dua when calamity befalls. And therefore, during the times of calamities and suffering, such as we're going through right now with the COVID-19 pandemic that has gripped the world, it's even more important that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time and ask Him for His relief and His protection. There are many du'as that we can make, specifically protection from illnesses, or more generally, to be protected from any harm and to remove the harm that has befallen. And I'm sure that many of you have seen, you know, lists of du'as going around. And this is good, alhamdulillah, that people are thinking about the importance of making dua at this particular time. However, many of those lists are simply that. They're lists. And a lot of us don't really know what these duas mean. And it is important to understand the meaning of what we're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. As many of the scholars say, ad-du'a'u silah, silahul mu'min, that the dua is the weapon of the believer. ولكن السلاح بالضارب. The weapon is only effective as the one who is using it. So if we're making these du'as, but we really don't understand them, then they're not going to be as effective as they could be if we actually know what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And this is very important so that as we're learning these du'as, that we learn the meaning of these du'as. And today, what I'd like to do is go back to the beginning. What I mean by going back to the beginning is that I want us to memorize a dua that is all-encompassing and a dua that will help us to make more dua. And that is because, simply because I memorize a dua or I know the meaning of a dua or I have the willpower to make this dua, it doesn't mean that I'm actually going to make it. The only time I'm really going to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call upon Him is if He aids me to do so. And this is basically what we find in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Every time we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, O Allah, it is You alone that we worship, and from You alone we seek assistance. That is, that we seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worshiping Him. And this is, similar to what we say when the adhan is being called. When the muadhin says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, we don't repeat after the muadhin. We say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no movement. There is no power. There is no might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have the ability to answer that call to prayer, to come to success, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids me in doing so. So as we memorize these du'as, and we know them, we know that I'm supposed to say this du'a in the morning or this du'a upon leaving the house and so forth. We're only going to do that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids us in doing so. And this is what I mean when I say going back to the beginning. So I want us to memorize the du'a today that we should be saying in every salat, in every single salat, from now until the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us back. We should be saying this du'a. It is the du'a that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Mu'adh when he took him by the shoulder, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he took him by the shoulder and he said, "Inni la uhibbuk ya Mu'adh. Oh Mu'adh, I truly love you." So he goes on to say to Mu'adh, "Fala tada'anna fi dubri kulli salatin taqul. Fala tada'anna fi dubri kulli salatin taqul Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik." He says, so don't leave off saying at the end of every salah, and in some of the narrations, fi kulli salah, in every salah, meaning, and what the scholars have deduced from this, is that this dua is better to say before the taslim as opposed to after the taslim. So before the taslim, you say this dua, "Oh Allah, aid me, help me, assist me in three things. Dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Remembering you, thanking you, and worshiping you in the best manner possible." Now, this is a great dua, and we understand these words, bi'idhnillah. But I do want to go through these three points, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, just so that we can get a quick understanding of what it is that we're actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So again, we're going to say this dua in every salah, and not just the fard salah. You're going to say it in your rawatib, your sunnahs. You're going to say it if you pray duha. You're going to say it if you pray salatul witr. Yani, this dua is to be made in every single salah before the taslim, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing us to ask Allah to aid us. And that is because, again, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not help us, it's not going to happen. Aid us to do what? Number one, fi dhikrika, in remembering you. And a dhikr has two different meanings. One is the opposite of al-ghafla, heedlessness or neglect. And this is the dhikr of the heart. That is that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of ourselves, that we remember his magnificence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his generosity, his mercy, that we are conscious and cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, that we don't forget him. So this is the dhikr of the heart. The second type of dhikr is the dhikr of the tongue, and this is the opposite of silence. So we're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongues, and the best of that dhikr is the recitation of the Quran. And then there are the statements that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Sending salah and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Making dua, just calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is part of a dhikr in the general sense. So when we're asking Allah to help us in dhikr, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us not forget him, and also to mention him with our tongues, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the best of our actions. Tayyib. The second thing, part two, or the second thing that we're asking for, is a shukr. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to show our gratitude to him. Wa ma bikum min ni'matin fa min Allah. Every ni'mah, every favor that you have is from Allah. And those favors may be material favors, or they may be spiritual favors. I mean, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you to pray five times a day, that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jalla has put in you the desire to make umrah and to make hajj and all of these other, you know, to be a person who is concerned about their piety and sincerity. These are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that deserve to be thanked, as well as the other material blessings that we often think of, like having a reliable vehicle and a spacious home and a patient spouse and beautiful children and so forth. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with sight, that he has blessed us with hearing, all of these are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that deserve to be thanked. That thanks starts in the heart by recognizing those favors. It manifests itself on the tongue, that is when we speak about them, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, and it manifests itself on the limbs as well. That is that we don't use these blessings in a manner that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, all of those blessings that we have, we use them in a manner that shows that we appreciate this favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We use them in a manner, we use them to increase in our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is all part of shukr. As we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for husn al-ibadah, we ask Him to aid us to worship Him in the best possible manner. There are two main elements here. Number one is that all of that worship be sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there be absolute ikhlas, that we don't turn to anyone else, that we're not doing this form of ibadah because we want people to notice it, because we want their thanks, because or any of those things, but that we do it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah azza wa jal in public, in a manner, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public in a manner that we would do so in private. We're not, you know, showing off. We're not being ostentatious. We're not looking for anything other than the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part is that we do that worship in a manner that complies to the teachings of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If it is done for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not husn al-ibadah, it's not good worship. And if it is done in a manner that is not sanctioned by our deen, then it is also not good worship. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these three things. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, aid me in remembering you, thanking you, and worshiping you properly. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad.